We'll ask the help of the Lord as we turn to his word this morning. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for this weekend of meetings in this house. We bless thee for the word that has already gone forth. Bless it even yet when the voice of man is silent. And Lord, we pray as we come now to thy word, we pray for the infilling of thy Holy Spirit. O God, anoint us with fresh oil. Lord, we're nothing, but find us this morning as an empty vessel, and fill us with thy Holy Spirit, and grant us liberty in the Holy Ghost. Grant, Lord, that thy Spirit today might speak to all of our hearts. We're living in desperate days, days of darkness, days of a falling away. But Lord, we thank thee, thou art the one that remainest the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless every effort made to get the gospel out to others. We pray in the Sunday school, the children's meetings, from the pulpit, from personal evangelism, O God, that you'll come and anoint us with fresh oil to do this work. Lord, we need thee. Our land needs thee. We need thee desperately, Lord. And in the words of the hymn writer, where is our hope for survival? Save in thy life-giving breath. Come, Lord, bless us and do us good. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. I'm sure you've guessed already our text this morning, verse 36 to 38 of Matthew chapter 9. But when he, that is Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. When the Lord Jesus Christ moved upon the scene of time, he was constantly surrounded by people, needy people, lost people. And he consistently done everything in his power to reach them and to heal them and to bring the gospel to them. 2,000 years have passed by since those days, and many things on earth have changed. I'm sure the Apostle Paul and the other disciples would appreciate the transport that we have today in getting from place to place. But in those days, it was Shanks's mare, or perhaps by mule, or some other animal. And so things have come on greatly in transport. And of course, languages have changed. And also, clothing styles have changed. Hairstyles have changed. And there's many things that have changed. But there's one thing that has never changed. Well, there's two things. First of all, the Lord has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the gospel is still the same. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But people are still the same. Oh, we might have different languages. We might dress differently. We might have better modes of transport. But people still need Christ. And people are still sinners. And people are still lost. And without Christ, they've got no hope. And they're without God in this world. Something else hasn't changed. The labourers are few. That hasn't changed. There's not a multitude of people going into Bible college and preparing themselves for missionary work. There's not too many that are prepared to go on the doors with a gospel tract or even to witness at their place of employment. The labourers are few. And we have the plea from the Lord, pray ye the Lord of his harvest that he'll thrust forth labourers. Now, when we look at these verses this morning, we can say that the harvest is still the same. The harvest is plenteous. And where you see men and women, boys and girls, there's a harvest field. And you and I don't have to go to the foreign mission field. I thank God for those that do. And we thank God for young brethren that will soon be going to the land of Australia. But I know in Mount Marion, I just have 2 yards right, left, or in front of me, and there's thousands of people. And I believe the Lord is still saying, the harvest truly is plenteous. You live in a growing city, and there's multitudes of people, but the labours are few. I'm glad to hear about the seminars and reaching boys and girls. And we really need to look at this portion this morning and see it firsthand how the Lord Jesus Christ reacted to the lost round about him. And our prayer is today that we might learn from his example and find ourselves engaged in this harvest. That's why we're here. We thank God for what he's done in all of our churches and the beautiful new buildings and for the people he has given us. But you know, the danger is we can sit on our knees and say we've done our bit. But you know, there's no discharge in this war. And you and I are called to take the word of God to those that are in need. And in order to do so, we must see, first of all, the crowds as Jesus saw them. You'll notice it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. First of all, he saw them as weary. They were fainting, and they were scattered abroad as those without a shepherd. They were burdened, and they were tired. And you might say, well, they were physically tired and they were hungry. But I believe it goes deeper than that. And I believe the Lord saw a burden and a weariness that perhaps the disciples didn't see. There was a weariness and a burden with religious activities. Way back in the book of Isaiah 46 and verse 1, it reminds us there of the gods of the heathen, Bel and Nebo. And it says they bow down and they stoop, and the people are wearied. Why? Because the people had religion and they had their gods. But instead of these gods carrying them and being a blessing to them, the heathen had to carry their gods around in carts. And you know, people are still weary today of religion. Religion never does anything for anybody. It cannot save. And I believe there's a people today, and they're tired and weary of religion. They're absolutely worn out. And of course, there are those, and they're doing the best they can. How are you getting on? How is it with your soul? Well, you know, I'm doing the best I can. And I go to my church, and I pay into the church and all the rest of it. And yet, they have no relief. They have no joy in their heart today. They have plenty of activity and religion, but they're still weary. And of course, anyone outside of a personal saving relationship with the Lord is going to experience this kind of weariness. Remember in Proverbs 13 and 15, Solomon wrote the words, "The way of the transgressors is hard, and it's a wearisome." And people are weary. I know we're living in a day of wickedness and immorality, but I still believe there's a people, and they're looking for something, and they can't find it. They were weary in spirit. They've tried to do the best they can. They've tried to live religious lives so to earn a place in heaven. And all the time, the Bible says ye must be born again. Is there someone here this morning, perhaps this is ringing a bell? You're doing the best you can. You've done your best for your family. You've trained them to go to church and Sunday school. And yet, you haven't that peace and that joy in your heart. Why? Because ye must be born again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so they were weary, but also they were wandering. For the Lord saw them as sheep that were scattered abroad. And this word scattered refers to the sowing of seed. And of course he sees people as scattered abroad, just as seed would be scattered abroad by the wind, and it was falling here and there. And he saw these people, and they were scattered, and they had no hope. And surely the picture of people who live amongst us and near us and we work with, and there are people who are held captive by the devil at his will.
and they walk according to the course of this world. Peer pressure is rife in our schools and society. And like father, like mother. And like son and daughter. And of course, mum doesn't go to church. The daughter doesn't go to church. We live in a vast area. And in our outreach work in the Mount Marion Avenue, I would say this morning out of the Craigie Estate, there wouldn't be 24 people going to church, any place of worship. And so they have nothing, and they're scattered abroad. And these people need to be told that there's a better way to live. That there is someone who cares and understands, and someone who has come not to destroy their lives, but that through him they might be saved. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And how the Lord proved that in his ministry. The woman at the well in John chapter 4. How he went another way to Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there's a woman there that he's going to meet up with. And he's going to tell him of himself. And he's going to tell her about herself and her need of salvation. And we think of the demonic of Gadara. We think of many, many others. We think of the disciples mending the nets and how he passed by and called them. How he passed by the receipt of custom and he saw Matthew there and he said, "Follow me." And so the Lord had a desire to reach men and women with the gospel. Not only were they weary and wandering, but they were wasted. Now the Lord says they're like sheep without a shepherd. And I would suggest this morning, as sheep without a shepherd, if you look at it, there's potential there. There's a sheep and it has got a great fleece on it. Great fleece of wool. And that would be very valuable to a shepherd if it was sheared. But you see, there's no shepherd. And the Lord looked upon these people. I believe he looked upon them with people that had potential. But as they were, they could do nothing. Just like the sheep without the shepherd is sheared, that wool is wasted. And if there's no shepherd to lead it and guide it and direct it and to lead it beside the still waters and lead it by the green pastures, that sheep is going to die and it's going to be ruined and lost. That's like people today. There is potential in people. Oh, if we would just see that potential when we see men and women. Instead of trying to see all the bad faults about them and all their sin, we know they're sinners. We know they're sinners. And of course, they have to see their sinnership. But if we could just see them, not as trees walking, but as souls going to lost eternity, but think of the potential. I think of the census has shown anything in Ulster and across England that there's a multitude of young people. Multitude. And oh, what potential if they were won to Christ. Without the shepherd, they're doomed to destruction. No one to feed them. No one to lead them. No one to defend them from their enemies. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That is the state of every man and woman, boy and girl without Christ. Lost. And just a breath away from a lost eternity and hell. The conditions of thousands around our doors today is a lost condition. And so we must see the crowds as the Lord did see them. A sheep scattered, not having a shepherd. And yet potential there, if we would reach them with the gospel. But then we must love the crowds, or the people, as the Lord loved them. And you'll notice it goes on to say, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them." He was moved with compassion. Now these people were lost. He saw them as wandering and weary. and is wasted. But he had compassion upon them. He loved them. He had his eye upon them. Knew all about them. Knew all about their sin. Knew where they were coming from. More importantly, he knew where they were going to. And the Lord had compassion upon them. You see, God's love is for sinners. And her brother testified to have been saved in the first constitutional meeting of this church. And like all the rest of us, we thank God for that day we're saved. And God had a concern upon us. And he loved us. And the Bible tells us that we're loved with an everlasting love. In other words, from eternity. Because remember, Christ is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And so God loved us from eternity. And he knew all about us. And what we'd be like. And some of us weren't very nice. And some of us didn't do very nice things. And I'm sure there were people in that multitude that day. And they were deep-dyed sinners. But the Lord had compassion upon them. Romans 5 and 8 tells us, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Brethren and sisters, we have to love men and women. If we're ever going to reach them for Christ, he had compassion upon them. He took them under his notice. He felt for them. He saw their lost condition, where they were going to. I sometimes wonder, and forgive me if I might have turned, but sometimes I wonder, and I'm not disparaging the new building, you would know that. We thank God for progress, and we have new buildings in Mount Marion, and many of our churches, and sometimes I feel, you know, we come out of the old building, and I described our old building as a hut. And Dr. Paisley took me to task for that, for he said it was the greatest building that ever was. But I described it as a hut. But I can tell you, even in my short time in Mount Marion in the hut, we had tremendous times. And I can look back in my days in Portavogie, and behind the building there was a kitchen, come prayer room. And I tell you, we had times of prayer in there, and you could have felt the presence of the Lord. And there was things happening. But sometimes when you get into the new building, there's the danger. I'm not saying it's happened here. But there's a danger of saying we've arrived. And we lose our vision. And we lose our sense of direction. And why really we're here. This is not the end. This is only a means to an end. A beautiful building, a comfortable building, in which to invite men and women to come in, that they might hear the glorious tidings of God's great salvation. And sometimes I wonder, you know, if someone come in from the street, and they're a wee bit unkempt, and perhaps there's a wee bit of smell about them, and they had their old work and clothes on, and they come down and sat beside you, would you be shifting up a wee bit up the seat? The Lord loves sinners. He loves sinful men. And we must have that compassion, that love, like the Lord Jesus Christ. We must love them like the Lord loves them. We love our families, and quite rightly so. But you know, we can get used to people's lost condition. We can get weary in praying for them. And sometimes we can be so occupied with our families, yea, with all the church activities. We can be occupied so much with our work, with our sports, and with this and with that, and our zeal has been lessened. We don't have the same zeal as we ought to have. And whether it was 2,000 years ago or today, souls are still lost and going to Christ's eternity. We need to see the need. What are we doing about it? And sometimes, you know, when we apply verses like this and messages of this, we look down at the young people and we get at the young people and tell them to put their life on the altar and they should be serving the Lord. And so they should. And I'm glad for the young people. I can look down here and I know they're serving the Lord. But tell me this, what about you, brother, sister, this morning, that are saved maybe 10, 20, 30 years, and you're living in a past experience? Living in a past experience. You know, like the footballer, he was good 20 years ago, but he should have retired 10 years ago. He's living in a past experience. You live in a past experience, you know, there's nothing as deadening to your soul. We need an up-to-date experience. Is our love for souls the same as it was the night the day we're saved? Remember when the burden rolled away and the joy of the Lord filled our soul, and we went round buttonholing people about the Lord and getting them into the meetings, and maybe we were treading where angels fear to tread, but we had a zeal, and even it was without knowledge, yet the Lord taught us. And we were willing to be taught, but we're at our knees now. And, you know, things are going on apace and everything's well in the family and the workplace. And we're sitting very nice and we've lost the zeal. What about you this morning? You're living on a past experience. Remember the joy of pointing the soul to the Lord? Remember the happiness when you witness to a man or a woman that you work with? Well, it was hard at the time, but afterwards there was the fruit of peace and joy. Harvest. It's just as plentiful today as it was in the days with the Lord. He moved. He had a concern. He had compassion upon them. And then you'll notice also, not only had a concern and a compassion, but notice what he did. The Bible says he was moved. Didn't just look upon the people and see, isn't it terrible the way those people are living? Isn't it awful that they're not saved? And then walk away. No, he didn't. He did something about it. And you and I need to see the situation as it is. And our land is in a mess. Politically and spiritually in a mess. And we need God to come in mighty Holy Ghost revival. And we need people that are ready and willing to heal its arrival. We need to come to the place where we see sinners as the Lord saw them. We need to love them as the Lord loved them. We must see that they're going to lost eternity. They're not going to be annihilated. And the only thing that is standing between the unsaved and the awful place called hell is the gospel of saving grace and you. And you. God has ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, he will save them that believe. And he will save those that are reached with the gospel. But he has so ordained it that you and I that are saved are the vessels to which we're to take the message to the lost. And if you and I don't do it, if the church doesn't see the need and get moved with compassion and a love, they're not going to be saved. It's up to you and me. Isn't that a tremendous responsibility? We're saved to serve. We're not saved just to have a wee, as it were, insurance policy to get us to heaven. We're saved to serve. And we're saved to see the lost one to Christ. He was moved with compassion. His love motivated him to do something about it. And he went all the way to Calvary. He sacrificed himself. For there's no other way. And brothers and sisters, you see, if we don't have love for the lost, we'll not be motivated to see them won for Christ. We need to have that love. How often we talk about the unsaved. And we can sit in grips and we can talk from morning till night about the terrible plight of the lost and all about them. But sometimes we're long in talk and very short in action. And we can talk about poor sinners. But unless we love them and unless we are moved to do something about it, they're still going to be poor sinners. Oh, I know there's many sinners out there, and you knock on the doors and they can give you a mouthful. And there's many that would be against you. but we're to go with the gospel, and how many were against the gospel. And if I were to ask this morning, not going to do it. Hands up all those that hated the sound of the name of Free Presbyterianism and Ian Paisley. I would think quite a few hands would go up. And if I asked this morning how many people there are, and you hated the sound of the gospel before you were saved, I'm sure many hands went up. And that's no reason for us to quit. And many, because it's only the Holy Ghost that can change the hearts of men and women. In 1 John 3:18 it says, "Let us love, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Let's just not talk about it. Let's do something about it. And then we must see the crop as the Lord saw it. And you see, as the Lord looked upon the multitude, there was a threefold problem. He first of all saw that the harvest is ready. It's ready. And in John's Gospel 4:35, he says, "The fields, they are white, all ready to harvest." And there's a danger here. The fields are white unto harvest. Now, I'm not a farmer. And I take the chance of someone coming to me afterwards and saying, "Brother, you've got it wrong." But I believe that when the harvest is white, it's at the last days to be reaped. It has to be got in, or it's going to be lost. Now you can see the fields, they're green, and then they turn yellow colour and a golden brown. And there's time. But once you see the corn, the wheat turning white, it's ready for harvesting. There's an urgency there. And the Lord saw the problem, that there was no urgency, and that the harvest was ready. Any delay could lose the crop. The harvest is still ready. Life is short and eternity is long. The only day that you and I have to get into the harvest is today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That is true for the sinner. And if you're in the meeting this morning, you're not saved, don't you be saying, "I'll wait till tomorrow night and I'll come to the meeting," because I don't have to emphasize this. You or I might not be here tomorrow night. And the only moment we're sure of is now. Now is the time to close in with Christ. But brother and sister, now the harvest has to be gathered in. The harvest is ready. It's ready. The harvest is large. Literally multitudes. When he saw the multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision. "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" The harvest is ready. It's large. We need to be up and doing. And then the labors are few. As Jesus looked upon the harvest of humanity, he told his disciples there were only a few who were willing to labor. And 2,000 years later, that hasn't changed. The labors are few. Isn't it the same in most congregations? There is a core of people that will do the work, and there's a multitude of people that are content to sit back and let them do it. My brothers and sisters, we're all to be involved in the harvest field. And you and I can't be involved in any greater or more rewarding work than in God's harvest. Now, sometimes, as in this physical harvest, some harvests are better than others. And some places see more of a harvest than other places. But I tell you, there'll always be a harvest. And it's there for us to gather in. The labors are few. But it's our duty to reach the world for Christ. Young people are always exhorted to be up and doing, and they ought to be up and doing. But older people, and even people, senior citizens, who are not longer able to go round the doors, can uphold those that are going round the doors or those that are preaching or teaching in the place of prayer. How often it is when we have a problem or difficulty, we say, well, the only thing I can do is pray about it. It's not the greatest thing. It's not our prayers, but it's the one who hears and answers prayer. And your church is filled this morning. That's wonderful. And we're not making light of that. I might be breaking the 10th commandment here. I wish I had it in Mount Marion. But I tell you, in the context of Lisburn and the wider area, what are these among so many? Now, I'm not into the numbers game, but I tell you, there's a multitude out there that are lost and they need to be saved. And the words of the Saviour was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the commission given 2,000 years ago. It is still the commission today. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. And it's only the power of the Holy Ghost that will make us fishers of men and soul winners. Receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, there's a progress and there's a widening out of the scope of the reaching of the gospel. Starting at home. Mother, your mission field is your home, your family. Many people look upon Noah and say, oh, Noel wasn't a very successful preacher. There was only 8 in the ark when the door was closed. I tell you, Noah had a praise service, second to none, when he was able to look round and there he saw his wife, and there were Shem and Ham and Japheth and their wives, and they were all safely gathered in. That's the first place, at home. And then we go out. There's a great work to be done. And then you'll notice the plea from the Saviour. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth labourers into his harvest. Are we fulfilling that commandment this morning? Are we praying that the Lord will thrust forth labourers into our colleges, into missionary work? Are we praying that the Lord will send forth labourers into our Sunday schools, our children's meetings? Are we praying the Lord of the harvest that he'll thrust forth labourers? And the Lord is saying here, we ought to pray for a burden. If we haven't got a burden, then we should pray for it. Late Reverend John Wiley used to say, you should pray, you know, if you're not willing. You pray, Lord, make me willing to be willing. And it's so difficult, isn't it? And you come in of a night of your work and it's dark and it's wet and, oh, I don't feel like going to the meeting tonight. And there's a multitude of things to keep you back. But if there's a football match, and you know it and I know it, and when I was following the football and going to football meetings, the heavens could have been opening with hail or rain or snow, and we've been running out of our boots, and we've been standing there like fools, cheering on and men running after a wee ball. It's not right. And we've got a great task here. The greatest work that we can ever be involved in, the most vital work. And let me say this, a work that we will have to give an account of one day. And we're tardy at doing it. We're put off by the conditions. Our physical weakness. The weather conditions. And we go out in the open air in the summertime and we're half praying for the rain to come on. I remember somebody telling the story of a young girl, and she said to her pastor, she said, you know, I have terrible trouble going to the doors. I'm afraid, you know, when people come to the door, what am I going to say? And I said, dear, just you pray about it. And so she did that. And the pastor came to a month later and said, how did you get on? She says, I got on great tonight. And I said that the Lord answered prayer. She says, he did. Why did you pray? I said, Lord, that the doors wouldn't open when I came to them.
you see. But we shouldn't be like that. Isaiah 68 and verse 8. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And we can talk about the lost. We can think about them. We can think up schemes to reach them. But if we don't go forward, bearing the precious seed, and weep over them, and travail over them, we never will have a harvest. And I speak for myself. Someone mentioned this morning in the prayer meeting, Lord, give us tears. We're dry-eyed. We can see men and women going to hell. We can preach on hell with dry eyes. Was it General Booth that said, when he was sending forth his soldiers into the work, that he wished he could lift the lid of hell and let them see for 10 minutes what it was like in that awful place. But this was the people that he was sending the soldiers to reach. Terrible place. We only saw, I believe Christ saw it. Christ saw all their sin and all their need. And they saw where they were going to. And he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. And we should pray for a burden if we haven't got one. And then we should pray from a burden. And a burden for souls will manifest it. And we will cry unto God when we see men and women as the Lord sees them. Oh, that the Lord might touch your eyes with the eye salve of heaven, that we might see men and women truly as they are. You know, sometimes, and we're not criticizing people who go to prayer meeting, but, you know, we pray so generally, in a general sort of way. Lord, please save the lost around us. Lord, would you save some soul in our meeting tonight? Save somebody at the church this morning. But we're not travailing in prayer. We're not agonizing. That's a general prayer. And generally God doesn't answer those prayers. But Paul says he wept night and day with tears and strong cryings. He wept over them. The Savior wept over them. Remember he stood over Jerusalem? And he looked down through the centuries. And their treatment of his servants. And yet he wept over and he said, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee like a chicken under her wings, like a hen under her wings, but ye would not. He wept. And even when they were nailing him to the tree, he was crying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, they travailed. And I think the four men in Kells travailed in prayer. And I say this morning. I'm not jealous of any work. But a work can be as large as its likes. But I tell you, in my experience, and as I read the Word of God, unless the blessing is based upon this Word, and it's based upon agonizing prayer, it'll go like snow on a ditch on a summer's day. It'll not last. It's all froth and bubble. Agonizing prayer. Getting into the Word. Seeing the lost as the Lord does see them. There's an obscure verse in the Old Testament. Haggai 2 and 19. Is the seed yet in the barn? You see, you can see the fields are white unto harvest. The sheaves are heavy with corn, they're dripping over. It has the potential for a great ingathering. But that corn, that wheat is only saved when it's gathered into the barn. Is the seed yet in the barn? Brothers and sisters, there's a harvest out there to be reaped. Perhaps we know that there's those that are engaged in the harvest. And some are going the second mile. And some are working in difficult situations.
and situations and works that are not very rewarding, and they keep at it. And they keep at it. But are there those, are you one this morning, and you've lost your zeal? You're safe to serve. The seed's not in the barn yet. That family's not been gathered in. That neighbor's not saved yet. That fellow workmate is not saved yet. We need to reach them. We need to tell them the story of Jesus and his love. The Lord is looking for workers. And what the Lord is looking for this morning is people, are people who are honest and will come and say, "Lord, I haven't got the burden. Haven't got the burden. But Lord, would you give me the burden?" That's what the Lord is looking for. Is the Lord speaking to your heart this morning? Sometimes people can give up the Lord's work with much difficulty. Our clerk of session, Mr. Willie Ferguson, finished 35 years as clerk of session of our church. Willie taught in the Sunday school. Willie was always there, and any preacher or anybody who goes to Mount Marion and has ever sat in a prayer meeting with Willie Ferguson would know that Willie Ferguson was the great encourager of any preacher and any child of God. And the night Willie had to step down, health wouldn't permit him. Willie was in tears. He said, "I can't do it anymore. I have to lay down the sword." But you see, there's some people and they can give it up very lightly. Somebody says something to them in the Sunday school or the children's meeting, and they go on off. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you do it unto man, you'll get hurt. And you'll have disappointments. But as you go into the harvest fields looking unto Jesus, you'll find no disappointment in him. He's no hard taskmaster. And won't it be wonderful at the end of the journey that we hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Perhaps you're not saved this morning. You're part of the harvest. We've been reading those words, how the Lord looks upon you. Not with a look of condemnation. For he didn't come to condemn you. Because the matter of the fact is, you're condemned already because you've not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. But God looks upon you in mercy and in grace and in love and would draw you to himself today. And he would give you life, and that more abundantly, and satisfying. And the promise to meet your every need, whatever that need might be, and then at last to take you to glory. Tell me, can you refuse it this morning? It's a free offer. There's no small print. There's no catch. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise, or modern idiom, no way, will I cast out. He'll take you if you come as a sinner. For Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts this morning.